intelligence. And yes, it actually is taking place in DOS, because it's that simple. And it should, if it would, oh, you've got to be kidding me. I don't believe this. It's actually not responding to the keyboard. Ah, so serves me right. That's what I'm doing. This is so simple, I actually made it like 16 text files just to fit it on the screen. And the rest of it is piece of cake. But no. Yeah, well, let's see. Have I tried, you know, going ooga booga in front of it? I don't know.
Shouldn't be doing. I've never seen that happen. But thank you.
Oh, no, that could happen. It's just it shouldn't. There's a difference between wonky and completely uncooperative. I've never had that before. Okay, there we go. You know what? That's emergency mode?
Yes.
That's all I need. It's hard to see around a lectern. I've never tried this before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a shame you don't have an extra monitor, like sort of like over here. You can look at like somebody, like one of the other rooms was doing.
All right.
There you go.
Oh, no, no. Oh, I can't. That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. I know. Oh, I can't believe that. So that's user one. Okay. Humor me 1 second. Talk amongst yourselves. Get to know each other, please. It is part of the theme of accessibility. But you know what? I'm just going to wing it just like this because, damn it, accessibility. All right, so let's see. Oh, well, I can actually see this thing now. So I've got a couple of requests. If you need, let's yield some seats. So if you have a wheelchair, if you have a seeing eye or a service animal, let's make sure it's clear. Also, if you have a cane or if you need to just lean or maybe you need to go, yield the seats. And also, a thing about uptime. I have been, let's see, I think I've slept maybe 5 minutes since Thursday, 9 a.m. I don't touch the stuff.
Okay.
In fact, I boo-poo it. I do not like this mate stuff, said Sam I Am.
By the way, the other version has to taste a little better.
I don't care what tastes better. I've had the real thing.
Okay.
So I usually start off with, you know, the disclaimers that make sure that all you guys are safe from liability, and me too. So we've updated our privacy policy. If that's the privacy policy. I don't care. Since it's a little bit hard to read, I'm going to, excuse me while I whip this out so I can point to the screen. Accessibility is for everybody. Simple white cane, very elegant, chic, handy, twirlable. And it helps to point out that any statements expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of 2600, the Hope Conference, the Hotel Pennsylvania, any client thereof. I mean, this is basically liability stuff. But the important part is that no animals will be harmed in the making of the lecture's transcript.
No guarantee about any people,
though. That's a different story. So the transcript is there. This is new because in the last talk I gave, I overlooked several accessibility issues because I'm an idiot. I didn't know. I was ignorant. Now I come to you with the wisdom, the way, and of course, simple ideas that just don't pan out. Serves me right for trying to do it right. All right. Funny thing is I can see the bottom of the screen perfectly well. Okay. We're going to take it from what else is going on, because if this is so flawed, you might want to go elsewhere, right? So we have cyber squatting on the Trump campaign going on up in Vaughan. Enron email corpus going on in Booth. And because I work in the information desk and we're the last to know, we have no idea what's going on in NES, ever. They're always on a break, I think. Okay. So before you go out the door, I want to make sure that anybody who leaves with at least the rudiments of accessibility. Accessibility is not dumbing down your content, spoon-feeding information, bypassing security for convenience, or separate but equal access. That is not the goal of accessibility. It's not the goal of universal design. What accessibility is, it's self-reliance, self-sufficiency, the minimization of intermediaries, and the, and I've changed this from the last time I said this, reintegration into the mainstream. Now, I used to say integration into the mainstream, but that implied that everybody was out of the mainstream, if you had a disability or if you had any sort of need. You would have to integrate, that you were always a part of it. No, you are the mainstream. When you're done?
Something that's going on over there, a brief introduction to something screen. There's a word I can't quite read because his handwriting is awful. That's what's going on in the other room you're asking about. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there are a few disclosures that I have to make at this point. One is that I do have a focus bias. I work predominantly with the blind, the visually impaired, the reading disabled, people who can physically or are physically unable to hold books. I make digital talking books. And I work in IT. And I work in operational and development security. This is not a technical talk. In fact, this is probably going to be the least technical talk, as you can see by the quality of the screen, of course. So I'm not going to go into depth about WCAG or ARIA or Section 5018. Or APIs, you can get that anywhere. In fact, there's a plethora of resources that you can get for free, at your leisure, whether it's a podcast, whether it's a video, whether it's the spec itself. What I'm going to give you is a different way of looking at the question, more of a humanitarian question, and how it has effects. So when you write your code, you're going to have effects in people's lives. If you put, for example, an input value and you forget to label it, or you make it obscure, and people put in the wrong information, that data will last longer as a mistake than it takes to correct that mistake and make it right again. This is a human problem. It's an anthropomorphic problem. I think that's the word I'm looking for, anthropomorphic? It's an anthro problem, not a tech problem. It's a people thing. It's always people. So when I'm finishing with this talk, and there will be a transcript, you will find it on GitHub. GitHub/XIONYC/A11YD. Shorthand for accessibility. Damn it! Because it's about time. All right, two more things that I am going to point out. I am not hip to the lingo. As you can see, I am not in any visible manner disabled. I am not in any invisible manner, to the best of my knowledge, disabled. I mean, yeah, I code terribly. I'm just trying to pull something, you know, a rabbit out of my hat. But I am what most people consider abled. I am not blind. I have decent hearing. I've got a good foot. I've got another good foot. I can do the hokey pokey, you know. So I am not hip to the differentiations, for example, between whether someone would consider themselves mobility impaired or unable to move, the same way that we have a certain problem in our language where we talk about hearing loss versus hearing impaired, the same way that we have arguments over whether someone is autistic or suffers from autism or has autism. I'm not hip to that. I'm not here to talk about the political correctness of the language. I'm here to address how we as hackers, we as human beings, react or make worse any problems that we already have in our own lives. You know, having a problem is bad enough. Compounding it makes it worse. And I'm into audience participation in moderation because I have some open questions. I got to learn. I don't know anything. That's the whole part of ignorance. When you recognize that you don't know, then you can start to address it. Until you realize you don't know something, you're going to remain ignorant always. And I want to correct that for myself. That way I can correct for you and for everyone I work with. Or for, or to, or by, or whatever preposition floats your boat, right? Of course, it's not going to find the file, because I probably typed it in wrong. One second. Okay. Now we get to the core of what I want to get across. Accessibility, damn it. It's got a fee, and it's these 5 points, which are pretty common between all of us. I mean, I'm looking around the room as best as I can. Oh, there you are. Lots of different people, lots of different everything. Hey, how you doing? Haven't seen you in a while. Hey, hi, guys. Hey, look, Mom, I'm on TV. No, for all of our different ideological or perspective differences, we share a common value, there's a few of them. One is egalitarianism. We're all equal. You know, you're a human being, you're a human being. There's no debating it. We believe in meritocracy, that the harder you work, the better your reward should be. If you work on something that just doesn't work, well, you put the effort, but we value result. If you make merit in society, great. We value intelligence. I don't know anybody here who actually would celebrate stupidity, except for outside comedy, but comedy's an escapism from reality, which is a tragedy. Consistency. We like it when things are consistent. We like it when we can see the sunrise. We like when we can see the sun set. We always like to know what's for dinner. We are very boring pattern people. It's how we make sense of a chaotic world. These are our goalposts. And ultimately, communication. Communication is always the key, because that's what we're doing in our sites, in our apps, in our devices, in our pocket, in our mind, in our walking, in our talking. We are communicating. We're trying to convey some notion, whether it's bye now or hi there. We're trying to convey information to someone who is not there or may be present physically, communicating physically as if we were close to each other, but maybe on the other side of the planet, maybe on another side of a language. So we as hackers, we do this. I mean, we agree on, for example, like TCP/IP packets as our common language. We agree that consistent packets are a good thing, because otherwise you're going to throw errors left and right. You're not going to be able to understand each other. You're going to say, hey, I can't hear you because of errors in the data stream. And I've got 3 points in this thesis. Accessibility should be as much second nature as security. This is a tough sell. I'm going to try my best tonight. Well, this afternoon. What time is it, after all? It's an afternoon talk. It feels like a night talk. All right. Second point of the thesis, accessible interfaces are inherently usable interfaces. Now, I separate accessibility from usability. I'll get to that in a few more pages. But the last one, and this is the one that I want to really hammer, is that the only user experience that matters is a negative one. When we produce sites, when we produce apps, when we produce themes, when we produce styles, we're doing so in order to sell an experience. I mean, the definition between user interfaces and user experiences is that if you can't use the interface, you have no experience. You have a negative experience. This is why I stopped using Debian. I'll give you an example. Scout's honor, and also a thump. The reason I never cottoned to Debian was because it had a text installer. It didn't actually do its dependency package management correctly, and as a result, I never cottoned to it because I spent 3 hours trying to turn things on and off. Whereas anything that's a push button, hey, that's a great experience. My interface is simple. It's a silly notion that accessibility and usability don't go hand in hand. They're one and the same. They really do work together. So when we're talking about different considerations, I kind of broke it down into the 5 food groups, if you will. I mean, you have eyes, ears, mind, muscle, and other. That's the only way I could break it down. So I'm going to start with eyes because, like I said, I have a bias. I understand the blind and the visually impaired. I work with them. I produce work for them. When you have a visual impairment or if you have blindness, you're going to be relying on screen readers. So any data that you are seeing on this screen will easily translate into a screen reader. Well, it has to do a scan from top to bottom and read everything out. The layout of the text itself, that's e-links. That's started with Markdown. Markdown, who the hell likes Markdown in here? Who uses it? Anybody? Okay, we got some insane and some sane people. I just don't know which is which. So Markdown is handy for note-taking if you want to just get something out fast and format it. Markdown bypasses something very important about HTML or any markup language. It contains syntax. When you say that I have a list or a list item, you are conveying more than just what the text renders on the screen. It's not, okay, I've got a bullet point and here's a couple of things under it. It's logically, I have this group of things. And each one of these groups of things relate to each other. That's syntactical information. That's contextual information. A computer is really bad at pattern matching. In fact, it's the worst thing at pattern matching. If you present things in a syntactic order, it can make sense of that pattern. So it can render it properly. And that's why I spent a lot of time working in Markdown, passing it through e-links, and trying to get it out onto a display that's going to easily read. Do you have to go to that extreme? No, of course not. We are in the 21st century. It's 2018, for better or for worse. And every major operating system, every contemporary operating system, now includes some shape, manner, or form, a screen reader, and a browser. And it can put the two together. So you don't have to go to this extreme. The second issue is, well, maybe you're not blind, maybe you're visually impaired, but you really need large print. You're reading close up to the nose. Well, there's a consideration there. What are the top fonts that get used? Shout one out, please.
Helvetica.
Helvetica, next? Oh, come on. But the answer is yes, but in a different manner. I'll come back to that later. Shout another one out. Okay. We've covered a good aggregation of it. That's about 80% of the fonts in use. Because they're default fonts. Who goes out and buys fonts anymore? Raise hands, please. All right, you guys are awesome. Who designs their own? Oh, wow. Tough crowd. Okay. But that's the bulk majority of the fonts. They're typically designed for legibility on signage. Times New Roman, the serifs, are designed for continuous reading. If you want to get information packed into as small an area as possible, you're going to use something like Times New Roman. You're going to use a serif. To pack information in, the serifs are going to allow you to figure out the spacing between letters at its minimum. You're packing information for density. Who took the subway today? That's it? How about yesterday? How about the day? That's it? Really? A lot of out-of-towners? Okay. Oh, Jersey. Well, Jersey kind of... And a lot of us have all seen a knockoff of Helvetica along the way. Helvetica is designed for signage, vision at a distance, clarity at a distance. So you've got big letters on big signs way out there somewhere telling you this is the train you want or this is the train you don't want. So that kind of consideration goes into effect. We have another style problem. Dyschromatopsia. Did I say that right? Dyschromatopsia? There is. There's an S in there I couldn't see from a distance. The phrase is, don't rely on color alone. Well, we do this very often in our designs. I mean, look at the US flag. We rely on color. Red, white, blue. Ooh. Look at France. Red, white, blue. Remove the color from it, and you're not sure whether you're looking at the French national flag or the Italian national flag or any other flag because most people don't actually recognize flags very well anymore. But if you remove the color from something and you can't tell what's a link or what's a button, whether it's ornate, whether it has a focusing purpose, you've got a problem. I mean, I've seen websites, I swear, where yellow on white, or white on yellow, or purple on black, or, hey, you geeks in the audience, green on black is hard to see, but it's cool. But you have enough contrast between the two. Unless you darken the green because you're so needy-deep. Amber on black translates as black on black. Remove the color. That information is not being conveyed to someone who does not see color. So how do you distinguish between the two? Then there's photosensitivity, which I am suffering right now. I can't believe it. I feel like I'm on the third degree. One, flickering. Who really hates flickering lights? Everybody hates it. Why? It gives you a headache. It drives you nuts. It annoys you. It detracts your ability to see what's on a screen, on a piece of paper, whatever's in front of you. Myodysposia. I hope I said that right. I'm having it right now. I'm seeing little floaters off in the distance, which are bits of gel, you know, floating in my eye. Why? Because I see nothing but black in the distance, and I've got these bright things, and I can't see anything else while I'm looking at my own retinas in a strange way. And after images. So when I get out of here, I'm going to have this big going across because I'm turning my head, and the hot light, the bright light, is going across my field of vision. Who likes flash bulbs? That's what I'm getting, except I'm not getting a flashing, I'm getting a persistence of vision. For the ears, okay, I admit, I know very little about the deaf and the hard of hearing community. I admit it openly, I am ignorant, I will learn. But if you are deaf and your interface expects you to be able to hear a notification off in the distance, like a background notification, how do you expect someone to notice it? You're going to have to change lights. Maybe you have a vibration mode. Does your interface actually understand the possibility that maybe you don't have to clutter up the screen with a notification that, or maybe, that it doesn't have to produce a sound, that it has to put a notification on the side? What about hearing impaired? Just turn up the volume? No. As we age, we have hearing loss. Turning up the volume may not help because you're also raising up the bass. That muddies your ability to hear. Tinnitus, you're hearing things that don't exist. Well, technically they do exist, but it's impairing your ability to hear clearly. So I've done eyes, I've done ears. That's a big majority of the accessibility cases, but there are others. Muscle, paralysis. Paralysis is an issue, as is amputation or deformation. You know, accidents happen. If you're a good typist and you now have one hand, you're going to learn single-handed chording, right? That's an issue, especially if you're playing games. Yeah, you can play games, and yes, they can kick your ass. They're good. Or maybe it's even worse. Maybe this is the hand you mouse with. Parkinson's. You don't have fine-tuned control over start and stop. If you're expecting a mouse to hover over an icon, wait 2 seconds, and then show a tooltip, and you can't keep that mouse steady, well, maybe you should change your triggering values to say, well, within a certain distance of this part of an icon, and that the threshold back and forth should not exceed some amount. Considerations for the mind. Now, who said Comic Sans? You are right. Dyslexia. So there are people who will read more easily with Comic Sans. For some of us, it's going to be a monospaced font. For others, it's Tecton. You know, that little technical font you see on blueprints? Overused. Well, my opinion. But my opinion doesn't matter here. I'm talking about a different story. And you can tell I've got a problem because my attention isn't really on the talk anymore. Attention deficit. If you're expecting inputs at certain times, or if you have a long process and you're expecting the user to sit by to click, you know, go ahead or continue copying over an overwrite, you're gonna get bored, man. So you're going to lose the attention focus of your user. I put depression and Alzheimer's together for a weird reason. Depression, you don't want to talk to people. You just don't want to see things not go your way. Like, you see a dialogue box that says, I can't do that, Dave, you're gonna feel pretty damn bummed, and you're gonna just totally and not deal with it. Or maybe deal with it another day when you feel better about it. It's gonna affect how you interpret what's on a screen or what's in a speaker, or it affects your ability to comprehend in a way that others might not. You know, there's a joke, old joke, I don't even know if the people tell this one anymore, of the two psychiatrists. You know, one passes, the other says good morning, the other psychiatrist looks back and thinks, what did he mean by that? Well, depression does that to you. It makes you second guess what you're doing. Abort, retry, fail. and cancel. That ain't happy words there. That makes you think. So in our choice in language, yeah, we can sometimes not do the right thing. We can compound something that we don't mean to. I put in Alzheimer's for another reason. Memory loss. If you can't remember the steps to do something, you can't succeed at what you're doing. How many people know the name Jeff Raskin? Anyone? Okay, we've got very, very few. That's wrong. Read Jeff Raskin's book, The Humane Interface, because or I'll just give you the $5 version of it, and please pass the hat around. Your users should spend more time doing what they want to do rather than thinking about how they're going to do it. There are a lot of people who learn by rote. You know, step one, step two, step three, here's what you do in order to get this done. If they're thinking about the process to do it, they're not focusing on what they're doing. And the more you drag out a process, the more likely it is you're going to forget a step. Especially if you're doing something like a credit card payment. A lot of them have timers on them to make sure. That should be file 9. Yep. A lot of them have timers to make sure that you don't leave your computer open. Well, if you can't remember where you put your credit card, well, I'm going to start looking in my pockets. Where was I yesterday? And you know what? Maybe it was back here behind the desk. I don't know. Oh, I'm going to rustle around. Oh, that's right. Your dialogue box just closed. I had a dialogue box? So things of that nature are considerations. And we have other issues. I mean, there's illness. You know, nobody wants to look at a monitor that's bright in their face when they're really feeling sick. Injury. Doctor, it hurts when I do this. Don't do this. If you injure yourself and you can't mouse and you can't keyboard, what's your alternative input? Intoxication. I don't see any hands being raised. Good children. You get blitzed out. Yeah, I saw a hand there. I know you. But that's after I brought it up. Intoxication impairs your ability to judge, to see, to hear, to think, to do anything. But it's a temporary issue. Theoretically, it goes away after time. You know, you get sober, you have the bad hangover, and that's it. You learn from your mistake. Well, in my opinion, it's a mistake. I really shouldn't have had that bottle. But it's a temporary effect, and that's the point I want to drive at. You can have a temporary need for accessibility tools. Once I'm off this stage, I'm going to be needing this, because I just see a wall of white. Stress. Stress really screws you up. If you can't be bothered to think about what's going on and you don't want to deal with it, you're going to make rash decisions in your interfaces. Language is a barrier. Okay, I put language up there for a completely different reason, which I don't think we're going to have time to dig into particularly, but it affects your ability to make judgments. And politics, HTTP 451 errors. If you can't access something that you are relying on in order to do something else, you have no accessibility. If you need a mediator to go through, you're sunk. And a final issue that I'm going to raise, and maybe this is not the most controversial thing I'm going to say this afternoon, almost said tonight, I know, but poverty is an accessibility problem because the internet is not free. It is not gratis, it is not libre, it is not free as in free credit report, and it's not even free as free mattress. You're paying for all the crap that happens on the internet in one way or another. Oh, this is much better, but I can't see a thing from here. Oh, well. We make decisions, we allow our computers to make decisions, we allow processes to make decisions about people's livelihoods without the person being present in the room. And I'm not going to ask anybody to raise hands, but assume that you have, for example, food stamps or benefits, and that for some magic reason you earned a little too much money last month and we're cutting you off. Maybe you won the lottery that week. Maybe you were honest. Maybe you said, hey, I got the lotto. Well, now you're over threshold. Now you're being denied service. And that effect can take 6 to 9 to 12 to 18 months to correct. What do you do in that time? Eat the ticket? The last point of consideration I really want to bring up is aging. We are all going in that direction, folks. How many people have an elder family member who just says, I hate technology? Oh, come on. There has to be more hands in the air than that. Seriously? That's it? You have very loving families. Okay, what do they mean by I hate technology? That usually means it's great when it works, I don't like it when it doesn't, right? Form of stress. But also, we have two curves to deal with, learning curves and unlearning curves. And I want to draw a point on this because Windows in the last couple of years, at least within the last 10 years, has gone through radical changes in their interfaces. I still get clients who say, but why can't I run Windows XP? I liked it, I understood it. XP's interface, let's face it, I don't like it. It's bulky, it's bubbly, but people are comfortable with it because they understand it. Then they went to Windows 7 or Vista. Well, let's forget Vista, please. Let's all forget Vista. Let's go to 7. Let's go to 7. Because 7 was a halfway point. It was like XP, but the buttons were smaller, which meant they were harder to mouse to, but they were transparent and they're cute. Then came 8, which most people ignored, thank heavens. And then came 10. And 10 is stark color on black on color, or white on color, or color on white, or color on black, and it is visibly distinct from what it used to be. That's shock to the system. You have to unlearn everything you learned about Windows 7, and unlearn everything you learned about Windows XP, and unlearn everything you learned about Windows 2000, and unlearn Windows 3.11. Hi there.
Yeah,
boom. So now you have the stress of unlearning all these habits that we've been teaching these users for 30 years. You think that the learning curve in your new product is just a movement over time. If this axis is the timeline, I start a learning curve over there. It's going to hit the roof somewhere about where this vent is, and that I have a new product coming out wherever this this podium is, and that the learning curve ends at the other wall. You're wrong. Because you have two learning curves as of this podium, at this point in time when you launch a second version of your product. You have to unlearn all the learning curve of your previous version. This is what Windows XP did to users when it went to 7, or when 7 went to 10. A lot of habits have to be unlearned, and that's why they hate technology, because they don't have the patience, the stress, the memory, the capability to understand it the way you and I might more nimbly adopt something like Android 8, or 7, or but just throw out some contemporary operating system of your choice. DOS, there's a good one. Well, what DOS is reliable. DOS is consistent, for the most part. I was thinking, you know, seriously, when I was designing these slides, I was thinking, I'm going to put this online so you can take this stuff with you. That's why I put it up on GitHub, so that you can take the vast portions of this information and pass it around and say, look, here's a template. It's going to be common for all of you, with one exception. But we'll get to that soon. So the first thing is accessibility is calling. Maybe you're considering a product that you're currently working on or that you have in the pipeline or that is on the drawing board and you're thinking, gee, you know, we've been talking about accessibility for so long. We really should do something about it. Well, it's calling you, whether you like it or not. It's inevitable. So the first step towards wisdom is Socrates. I know not. If you know that there's something you don't know, that's the step towards curing ignorance. Another philosopher called John Cleese, you might have heard of him, those silly walks. You need a certain degree of intelligence to realize how stupid you are. Read it up, it's his phrase. I have to cut him a royalty check later. I paraphrase it, but essentially you have to be aware that you are not aware. You have to be intelligent to know that you are not intelligent. And of course, the great phrase, omni ignotum pro magnifico. Everything becomes commonplace by description or explanation, which is a bad translation because I don't speak Latin. But anything magical becomes rudimentary when you describe it as technology. The magic of the cell phone. I mean, just think about it. I can pick up the phone, call around the world, and order a pizza to be delivered from a drone and have it delivered here within 5 minutes. That's friggin' magic, man! Back in the day, we just rubbed two stones together and hoped that the flint would work so it would spark. We got lighters in our pockets. That's magical. So I've got a couple spins on these. One is, I know not I know. You probably already know accessibility, to some extent, greater or lesser. Awareness is the first aid of ignorance. It doesn't cure it, It's just the way that you get to the cure. It's like triage. And here I've got a phrase that is ungrammatical sounding, but it's actually correct. Everyone can be learned from. So, any teachers in the room? All your hands should be in the air when I say that. I can learn from you. 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 Actually, I've learned a few things from you. I've taught you a few things. Hey, a microphone. I can learn from that. I'm not going to walk into it next time. I can learn from you. We all learn by observation. We're one of the few species that can do that. What distinguishes us from the chimpanzee is that we understand that what we're observing can be learned from. I see a guy walk into a door. I know there's a door there. A dog, you want him to catch a ball, you point to the ball. The dog's going to follow and learn that you want him to get the ball. Because when he gets the ball and brings it back, what does he do? You feed it. It's going to learn it. And everybody has something to teach. We're hackers. We value intelligence. We value communication. We value meritocracy and equality. We want to share information. Information should be free, right? Can I get more of a rallying cry behind that? Yay. There we go. And everyone has something to learn, like how to set up a proper presentation on my end, but at least I'm aware that I have to fix it next time. I thought I was doing something so clever.
Hold on.
But I wanted, there's another reason. Does anybody have a banana by any chance?
A banana?
A banana.
I actually do.
Oh, please. Oh. Wow. A round of applause. You know why I designed it? For scale. Legibility at a distance. Remember what I said earlier about Helvetica being for signage? Something clear, something actually quite elegant when you think about it. Universal in design, clear as crystal. That's why they use it in signage. So there is a certain style to it. There's a certain fashion behind it. But it's functional. So when you hear accessibility approaching, you're going to think about how to approach it. But we often take the wrong approach. It's capitalistic. Read with faster, better, cheaper. What's the joke?
Pick two.
Pick two. How do you pick the two? Well, you use the convenience of change. If you've been doing the same thing over and over and over for years, producing the same lousy product with the same lousy packaging, with the same lousy jingle, and the same lousy advertising campaign, you're not going to change a lot. Because to change is going to cost you a lot of money. To change means to do things differently. Maybe your raw materials have to be sourced from elsewhere. That's a lot of change. How much change can you bear? So usually when you get to a question of incorporating accessibility into your designs, products, software, interface, devices, tchotchkes, whatevers, what does management want to do always? They want to outsource it. And there's a phrase here which tells you that I did not write this in DOS. Lo barato cuesta caro. Cheap is expensive. You end up fixing mistakes down the road. Why? Because your priority was to make it cheap and fast, but you didn't make it any good. And if it's no good, nobody's going to use it. Retrofitting. Okay. There was a post office incident. This is going to take a while to explain. No. This is a quaint little post office somewhere off in the hills of, I think it was Martha's Vineyard or somewhere around there. I mean, I was drinking a milkshake and middle of a... What the heck was that?
Okay.
Did somebody just walk into a door or something? Is everyone okay back there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Back there.
All right, everybody survived. So in the case of the post office, I was having a milkshake on vacation. You know, I take my shortwave radio with me where I go. I put some QSL cards, and as I'm having this milkshake with my friend Trevor, I see this little quaint post office off in the distance. It's like centuries old, you know, classic American style. And I walk up to her thinking, I got my QSL cards, I'm going to get these out, I'm going to tell these radio pirates I heard them, the little bastards. And I'm coming up and I see three parking lots with two blue stripes in the middle one. Oh-ho! Handicapped parking. Great. And I see that there's a ramp coming up the back. It goes around the building. And because it goes around the building, it's on a ramp, you know, as you would normally expect. I'm a lazy bastard. I walk up the ramp. I'm thinking, hey, this is great. I open up. Do my business, I get the stamps. Lovely interior, really lovely interior. It had this like old colonial style with the windows just getting the light the right way with the dust particles rising up. This is, by the way, how you do image captioning, folks. I'm painting you the word picture. Since I don't have a way of pointing a picture, I've just painted one in your mind. That's the technique. But as I'm coming out of this post office, going down the ramp, I'm starting to realize, wait a minute, hold on a second, something's wrong. Something's terribly wrong. And as I turn the corner, it hits me almost literally, because there was an open door at the end of it. It was painful, but I realized the way they retrofitted this old turn of this colonial era post office into an accessible one was they just painted two blue lines down. If you're in a wheelchair, you need that extra space to get out of the car and maneuver and close the doors. And if you're going to use this ramp, you need to see if anybody's on the other side. There's not enough room to maneuver. So if two people happen to be on the ramp at the same time, they collide and they don't see each other. They don't even know it's like single tracking. It's like two trains on a single track. So retrofitting is always a problem. Isolation. If you want to know how bad your product is, put it in the hands of a three-year-old. You will learn every safety label you will need to know about it. Don't work in isolation. Talk to each other. And compliance. Compliance is the pants for the pockets. Women, you want pants with pockets? We'll put the pockets down here. You wanted that? That's what the spec said, right? But that's not what you want. And due to time considerations, but fortunately I've told you where to get the rest of the slide deck. There is no right way to adopt accessibility other than to adopt it. Not incorporate. Oh, well, no, it's a better approach. You see, over here where it says, better approach. Primitive visual aid. But this is the one I really want to make sure you guys go out with. There are five vertices in the pyramid of decision making. Now you got 3 + 1 in the case of bad ideas, but you have to acknowledge, know that you're not accessible. Adopt, realize that you have to change your ways. Bite the bullet. It's not really a big bullet to bite also. Adapt, talk to your users. Here. How you doing? You talk to your users, you get the feel for how they're looking at the screen, whether they're bored to tears, they're wondering what I'm going to do with this, they want to go home. You find out they have bananas. And then you assert. You say, okay, from now on, we are going to be accessible. You make good on this promise. You do decide to change. And then the last thing you assure, you have to do upkeep. Keep the channels open. Talk to your users, get their information. And the rest of it is very simple. Don't outsource. Own the problem before it owns you. Yeah, I spelled it with a P. When you do retrofitting, the least effort lasts least. When you work in isolations, you get programs written for programmers by programmers. This is why Linux will never be on the desktop. Talk to users. See how they work. Watch them. Talk to them. It doesn't take much. And finally, when it comes to compliance, if you want to say, hey, we're accessible, there is no one path. Everybody is different. I mean, we have the commonalities. We're intelligent, we're bright, we're communicative, but not everybody works the same way. Hey, I did these slides in DOS. So when you think about accessibility, think that you have a way of communicating with your users, retaining them, not pissing them off, not driving them crazy. Simple things that you may take for granted. The rest of the slides will be on GitHub/XIONYC, and the project name is A11YD. And I thank you for putting up with this crazy guy standing in front of you who can't even see at this point. Thank you. Enjoy Hope. And if you have any questions, I will be at the disinformation booth, where we don't know what the hell is going on in NES. Thank you. It is GitHub, GitHub.com xioxio.com/xrayindiaoscar. NYC, as in New York City.
XIONYC.
Correct. All together. /811YD. I'll spell it out for you. See, this is the user feedback moment.